And today we're going to talk to Alex Livingston, who is part of Defend the Wild. G'day, Alex. How are you?
Yeah, really good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, now the reason for why we've got you on is because you've got an event coming up at St Kilda Town Hall Friday, August the 14th, tomorrow. But the event is built around a couple of films that have been made, and this is what we're focusing on here is films as forms of activism and education. It's really important, these films, aren't they, because of the conversation that you're creating.
Yeah, absolutely. So both of the films are about dingoes, an iconic Australian animal who unfortunately is quite misunderstood. Many people don't know that across vast areas of our continent, dingoes are managed through lethal control. So it's legal across much of mainland Australia to trap, poison and shoot dingoes, and even on public conservation areas like national parks. So basically, the two short films, they both run for around about 10 minutes each. The first one we produce in collaboration with our partners, Dingo Culture, and the film is all about the cultural relationship that many First Nations people share with dingoes and the aspirations that many have to see them protected on country. And the second film is a Landholders for Dingoes film, which basically highlights how some graziers are increasingly finding that keeping dingoes on country is actually beneficial to their production. And this is mainly because dingoes' role in the environment is to basically keep macropods, so kangaroos and wallabies, in balance, which prevents overgrazing. But they also have a really important role in modern day, where we have a lot of introduced species. Dingoes are known to completely eradicate introduced goats from landscapes, and they also suppress introduced species like pigs, foxes, cats, things like that. So they are a very important animal to have in the environment to ensure that our landscapes remain resilient and healthy. And they're also a very good ally in the biodiversity crisis, because obviously suppressing those introduced species has a flow-on impact on many of our at-risk native wildlife.
In fact, let's go to Moot, Calling the Dingo Back to Country. I mean, I found both of the films absolutely illuminating, but the first one, yeah, I did. And I really encourage people to go and have a look at these films and to join into the panel discussion that's going to be held afterwards. The first one that's about Moot, Calling Dingo Back to Country, is fascinating because, of course, it's from the point of view of Indigenous Australians, the First Peoples, and their perspective on their role in championing the stopping of the eradication of the dingo is personalised, and they call the dingo their countrymen. I mean, this is absolutely to the core of the issue, isn't it?
Yeah, so, I mean, I have the absolute privilege of working really closely with, I guess, you know, you could call her my partner in crime, Sonia Grant. She's a Jitterbol Rainforest Aboriginal woman from Tully in Far North Queensland. She's the founder of Dingo Culture, and she also is the National First Nations Dingo Coordinator, which is a newly formed role at Girigan Aboriginal Corporation. And basically that role's been set up in response to the National First Nations Dingo gathering that happened in 2023. And one of the outcomes of that gathering was that someone is placed in a role to assist custodians across the continent with their aspirations for dingoes on country. So in my work with Sonia, I've had the privilege of connecting with many cultural custodians across the continent and hearing their stories, their connection, and also their pain that they feel when they have their countrymen removed from country, and the impact this has not only on the ecology, but it also has a deep cultural harm that comes with it. So it's been, you know, such an honour and a privilege to better understand that relationship that exists between many cultural custodians and dingoes, and also understand where a lot of people's aspirations are for the future of dingo management. And I think something that we continue to advocate for, and certainly something that we keep hearing feedback on, is that cultural custodians, given they've lived alongside dingoes for thousands of years, they form an important part of their culture. They understand they form an important part of the ecology of the continent. And many custodians want to see First Nations people at the forefront of dingo management. They know their country. They have amazing skills. There are many Indigenous ranger groups across the continent that are already taking the lead on dingo management. You've got the Minyamai Indigenous Rangers, their country's Evans Head, which is Banjalang country in northern New South Wales. Girigan Aboriginal Corporation represents 9 traditional owner groups across far north Queensland in the wet tropics. They are doing amazing dingo monitoring on their country. You've got Dalruck Aboriginal Corporation over in Western Australia in Esperance. So we're seeing a lot of these Indigenous ranger groups really at the forefront of better understanding dingoes on country, their movements, their family groups. And that's really important because it is, but also something that people don't realise is whilst we're doing these sort of mass killing programs that are funded by our government and often delivered by our government, that we actually don't have a solid database of information about dingoes' population dynamics on country. So we're seeing indiscriminate poisoning and killing of dingoes out on country, and there's actually not a real understanding of how their populations are holding up. So we could really be on the precipice of collapse for some local populations.
It's interesting because, just as an aside, I recently did an interview with someone about a local history. It was Fitzroy North, and it's from its earliest points. And apparently in the earliest times of European settlement, the governor gave orders for all dogs to be shot. Now, most of the dogs were actually with the Indigenous people. And it sort of harkens to this connection that Europeans have with a hatred of wolves or a fear of wolves. And also, of course, the eradication of the Tasmanian tiger. There is a psychological upheaval in the European mind. And this really is at the nub of this destruction, this horrible destruction of dingoes, really, isn't it?
Yeah, look, and I think we understand that for people who are farming livestock, of course, seeing your animals, if they've been predated on by an animal in the environment, we understand that that can be hard to witness, and it's also hard on people economically when they're trying to run a business. But something that we work really hard on is, I think, you know, in issues like this, often I think people default to this sort of us versus them narrative. And that's something we wholeheartedly reject. Like, our aim is to ensure that all stakeholders in this issue, which is conservationists, scientists, landholders, First Nations people, there are many, many stakeholders part of this. I guess, debate. And unfortunately, current management is only really catering to one stakeholder, but we do believe that there is management that can ensure that all stakeholders' interests are protected. So our practical action items is we want to see governments redirect funding that is currently being poured into ineffective, culturally harmful and ecologically damaging methods of controlling dingoes to instead fund extension services for landholders to enact things like guardian animals, other aversion techniques, that can be used at strategic times of the year, you know, strategically placed fencing, non-lethal means of protecting livestock. And it's really sort of shifting that mindset away from predator removal towards livestock protection. And that's what we really want to see. We want to see a coming together of stakeholders so that we can ensure that everyone's interests are protected, we can have livestock protected in the environment, and we can also see our beautiful dingoes continue playing their ecological and cultural role in the environment.
And of course, that's where this film, Wooleen Utilising Dingoes as a Management Tool, comes in. I mean, it's absolutely eye-opening, actually.
Yes. Yeah, it's... I often describe Wooleen as Australia's Wolves of Yellowstone story, because many people know the story of wolves being reintroduced to Yellowstone National Park in the US after being absent for a really long time. And the amazing and eye-opening result of that was that the wolves had such a huge impact on the broader environment, so much so that they actually changed the behaviour of the rivers.
And yeah, I think that the rivers. Wooleen, amazing.
Yes, and exactly. And I think that Wooleen is an incredible piece of evidence to show that dingoes have that same impact on our natural environment, removing the massive goat population that was at Wooleen Station at the time, and also bringing the kangaroo population back into equilibrium. And it totally transformed the landscape.
Amazing. Yeah, I mean, people have to go and watch the films. It's going to be at the St Kilda Town Hall on Friday, August the 14th. That's tomorrow. What time is it starting?
Yes, the films start at 6:30, but our doors are open from 5 p.m. We've teamed up with our amazing friends at Yulee's Brewery, so they'll be there serving drinks and some nibbles. And, yeah, we'd love for people to come along, have a chat and join the discussion about this amazing animal.
Well, because David Pollock from Wooleen Station from Western Australia is going to be there, as well as Sonia. She's going to be there, Sonia Grant, who's from...
Sonia Grant.
Yep. And that's what about right. the cinematographer and ecosystem biologist? Yeah,
we have Dr. Daniel Hunter, who has just a plethora of experience with dingoes in the wild. He's done amazing cinematography with BBC, National Geographic, the likes of David Attenborough. So he has just spent pretty much an unrivaled amount of time just observing dingoes in their natural habitat. So he has an amazing... range of understanding of dingoes. And also we have Yaron Cousins Bundle, who's a Gutjimara traditional owner, so we're really excited to have her as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, thanks very much for taking some time to talk to us today, Alex.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.